Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The following is a paid program. The views or claims made are not necessarily those of WILK staff, management, or sponsors. It's time for Laurie and Lynn. Local talk to start your weekend right. And now, Laurie and Lynn on WILK.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
Again, going a little stir crazy, but physically fine. I just don't know when this is going to stop, but I just feel like a caged animal. Anyway, I should count my blessings and just say I don't have the coronavirus. I don't know anyone personally who has it, and so I have to just say, you know, suck it up, Lynn, and be done with things.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not an easy thing. And yeah, I think we all just, you know, again, I say that, but grateful. That's what we have to be. But it is just, it's scary still, mm-hmm. and it's heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. And yet you see so many, you know, I just love seeing those videos of the people who are getting out and all the hospital staff clapping for them and who have recovered. And it's such a wonderful, wonderful thing to see. So,
yeah, it is.
And again, you know, the reports are always the worst thing. So, as they said, there's so many people who had it, who had no symptoms or symptoms that they were able to deal with and move beyond it. So, but these nursing home situations, and of course, I think everybody realized that would be what would happen because the elderly.
Yep.
I just think about that, and I think I would be so scared for my mother right now, you know, as would you.
Yeah.
So,
yep.
or my father, mm-hmm. my grandmother. It's tough.
Well, my mom
it is.
My mom was on nebulizers and oxygen and all that stuff for a couple of years before she passed. She would have been a perfect candidate, you know, for this virus. And I'm just so thankful that we never had to deal with that.
Yes. Yeah,
so anyway,
I know. Well, it's all a good thing, but the longer this goes on, I feel like I literally am crawling out of my skin, and I think I said that last week. It's getting worse. I don't mind the. It's not even being trapped in my house because there's always a million things we can do there, right? Which I.
Yeah.
Kind of did this morning, a couple more things, and you can walk outside. Today's a beautiful day. Thursday, a little cool, but nice. And, you know, I try to get out like a couple times a week just to go for a ride or just to be outside. It's just important. I think it's the only way to stay sane. So,
yeah.
But, I want to tell you, we were talking about the story on, I was out, I had a few things, I had to mail something and I had to pick something up the other day, and I was out and I had a FedEx package that had to be dropped off. It's been in my car for a month. Mm-hmm. But since I haven't been in my car much, I forgot it was in the back seat. So I put it in the front seat so I wouldn't forget. And I looked up where I could drop off FedEx. And so both of the hospitals had a drop-off, but one was inside and one was out. I wasn't sure which one was which. So I first went to Moses Taylor, and as I was driving on Quincy, I went underneath that tunnel that, you know, links the buildings.
The overpass.
And I went underneath, and there was a FedEx truck parked right beyond the tunnel, right across from the main entrance. So I pulled up next to him and rolled my window down, and he pulled his window open, and he said, I said, "Hi, could you tell me where is the drop-off for FedEx?" He said, "Well, actually, it's right here." He said, "If you pull it in front, I'll take it from you." I said, "Oh, God, that'll be great." So I pulled in and parked, and then I went to grab the bag out of my passenger seat, and I noticed that he was at the passenger window. So I rolled my window down, and I handed him the package, and I said, "I'm like, thank you so much." I said, "That's so nice of you." And he said, "Oh, my pleasure. So, you know, just be safe." And so I said, "Well," I said, "I'm going to tell you, because as we know, we talked about this one episode with a FedEx driver a while ago, which was not favorable. So I said, "I'm going to give you a big shout out because I can tell because I said you're just a nice guy," and I thank you for doing this. So I'm going to give you. I said, "I have a radio show on Saturday mornings," and he said, "Or no," I said, "I have a radio show," and he said, "Which one?" And I said, "The Laurie and Lynn show." He said, "Oh, I listen to that every week." And I said, "You do?" And he said, "I do." I said, "Well, I'm Laurie Cadden," and, you know, can't shake hands. But he said, "It was so nice to put a face to the voice." And he said, "And, you know, I know it's very ladylike," meaning all lady, women information for women. He said, "But I love it because I understand a little better." I said, "Well, we think a lot of guys listen to it. It's a good way to understand your wife and come from hearing it from two chicks who've been around a while." And he said, "I think it's great." And I said, "Well, tell me what your name is." And he said, "Well, you don't have to." I said, "No, what's your name?" He's like, "Joe." So then we talked a little more, and I said, "Joe, all right, give me your whole name." He said, "Joe Carroll." So a big shout out to Joe Carroll,
yay,
who is with FedEx in the Hill section. Nice Irish guy. I said, he's got the map of Ireland all over his face. I said, he is adorable. Nicest guy. And, of course, we always give big shout outs to people who are, you catch them being good, but also the fact that he's a fan of ours and listens, that's even better. So big shout out to Joe Carroll with FedEx. He's a delivery, he has the route in the Hill section, and he's a great guy and very kind. So thanks, Joe, and big shout out. And thanks for listening, and keep listening. Get all your friends, Joe. Tell them to listen. But it's so good because, as I said, I just love when people are, you know, they're just so kind. So
It's very nice.
It works.
It's interesting that in this situation, in the midst of this pandemic, we have been noticing the niceness of a lot of people, and not just noticing it, but having it be on the news and having some celebrity status attached to it, which is a great thing. But when you talk about the kids who are making the masks and the ones that buy all the masks,
the protective face shields.
Yes. And everybody is just doing what they can to help. And it's just a wonderful thing because it's an opportunity for us to truly unite as a country rather than the divisiveness that's existed for so long before that. So it's kind of, we're all Americans. We're all in this. We are citizens of the world, actually. And the world is experiencing this. It's not something confined to our
borders.
It's everywhere.
That's the thing about this, as we've said before, it's every single person is affected in the same way. Everything, you know, everyone has to deal with it. It's not, no one's immune. So, that's not the right word to use there, but you know what I mean. No one is, it doesn't discriminate, let's put it that way. So it's all good in the sense that we all know, we all can relate to the way other people feel because it's everyone's feeling it the same way. And of course, the goodness that always comes out of these, as Mr. Rogers always say, his mother said, in times of tragedy, you look for the helpers. And I think that that really is what happens. People shine through. There's so many people who want to do something. They just want, they're not content just doing nothing. So, you know, like you said, making the mask or doing anything, taking, you know, and I love those pictures of nursing homes when baby little guys are on the outside and they're touching the hands of their grandma or great grandma on the inside or grandpa. It's those are, I cry. I can't tell you how much I cry watching these things. You know, whether it's a Walmart commercial or a car commercial or whatever it is, they're beautifully done and they really, they touch your heart. So, and you know, I think everybody's so anxious, Lynn, now because they want to get back to normal. When is this going to happen? Mm-hmm. You know, listening to Governor Cuomo yesterday, I saw a little soundbite that said that he said until there's a vaccine. And someone said, well, how long do you think that is? Now, this is purely speculative, but he said 12 to 18 months. I don't know. So what did I do last night so I could laugh and just while I was on my exercise bike, I binge watched Grace and Frankie the rest of season 6.
And was it worth it?
Well, it's fabulous, and I cannot tell you. Now I've watched every single one, some of them 3 times, and it's so funny and so well done. And supposedly the season that, I don't know if they have it finished or they were working on it, I don't know, is the last and final season, which would be 7, supposedly. But I'll tell you, we need more things like that because I'm watching also Homeland, and I didn't watch it from the beginning. I kind of watched it here and there, and so the last couple seasons I've been watching. And now, of course, there's supposedly two more shows, and it's the finale. But watching that with all of what's going on is like, as much as it's very compelling to watch, and I do, and I like it, it's also like loaded with like anxiety because of it. And I'm thinking, don't have this epidemic and watch Homeland at the same time. You're crazy, which is what I am. But watching funny stuff like the Kaminsky Method, which is hysterical, which I've already watched both seasons, and Grace and Frankie, it's one of those things where I was laughing so hard out loud by myself. And I was on my exercise bike, too, so that was good work. So it just makes you feel like, okay, and I want to start watching the fabulous Miss, the marvelous Mrs. Maisel?
Mrs. Maisel.
I want to stop that.
Wonderful show.
Or start that. Yeah. So things that are uplifting, that's what I want.
Yeah. There's so much good Jewish, Yiddish type humor in it. It's so New York, and it's so wonderful. It really is. It's just a great show.
And that's a good segue, Lynn, into a friend of ours whose big birthday is tomorrow, meaning the 17th. So when you listen to us, it's going to be the 18th. But if you see this man and you know him, or you can call him or text him, please wish Mr. Meyer Moskowitz a big happy birthday, because it's a big birthday for him. And
well, you better say it.
No, I won't. Who cares? I mean, you know what? Then I'm going against it. But he is. Because he'll kill me.
All right,
it's not me, so I won't. But it doesn't matter. It's a milestone. It's wonderful. He doesn't look his age. He doesn't act his age. God knows he acts like a child at times. But I mean. I'm kidding. Kidding. Wah, wah. But. So please wish him a happy birthday. At this point, it'll be over, and he has would have a few billboards up and some pop-up things at my house. and people are going to drive by and yell to him, would have if, as you're listening, and wished him a happy birthday. And my son Tommy's making him a delicious dinner on Saturday night, and Friday night his brother Joe and Meyer and I will have something lighter for on the day of his birthday. So it's, and then once we're able to get back to some celebrations and going places, we'll make up. Happy, happy, happy birthday to Meyer Moskowitz.
Happy birthday, Meyer.
Yes.
And on that note, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Lori and Lynn Show.
It's Saturday morning with Lori and Lynn. Now, back to Lori and Lynn.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back. You're listening to the Lori and Lynn Show. I'm Lori Cadden, the owner of Lori Cadden Enterprises, which is a fundraising PR and special event business.
And my name is Lynn Evans. I'm the managing director of a company called Women of Substance, LLC, which is a financial planning firm devoted specifically to the needs of baby boomer women. And I'm also the host of a podcast called Power of the Purse, and that's available on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. So the April 2020 AARP bulletin came out the other day. And this was an exceptionally good edition. And there's so much stuff I would like to bring to everybody's attention, but the cover story is all about the scams and the fraud and the intensity of this. It's really kind of scary how they do this stuff, but hotbeds, they identified hotbeds of fraud, Costa Rica, Nigeria, Florida especially for Medicare fraud, Romania, Eastern Europe, Jamaica, and India. So all of these are hotbeds where people are calling for different reasons. And the point is that anytime they ask you for any information, like your Medicare or Social Security numbers or your credit card numbers, hang up, because nobody really ever does any of that. But they make it look so appealing and so legitimate, because they copy, if it's something you see as an email or a letter, they copy the logos of the companies they're trying to represent.
I know. It's terrible.
It's really, really bad. So just see this whole thing. I'm not going to read all of it, but just the one that I think scares me the most is the most current one, which is the COVID-19 cons. And the pose is you get an email offering a coronavirus vaccine or access to critical medical equipment. The pitch, obviously, anxiety is high and you're urged to protect yourself. The approach, some emails ask for credit card information, then bill you for products that never arrive. Others include a link that will install malware on your computer to steal your passwords. The prevention is to visit government health agency websites for updates. Be wary of emails during the crisis. There is no COVID-19 vaccine as we speak. There may be shortly, but there is none now. So, another big one right now this year is for Amazon. Scammers pretend to be Amazon representatives, taking advantage of the fact that the company sent more than 3.5 billion packages last year, and it's going to be even more so this year. The pitch, you'll be told, package can't be delivered until you confirm your credit card number.
Yep, I've gotten those years. A year ago, I was getting things like that, thinking, "What?
Yeah.
I never did it. I don't trust anybody with anything.
No,
nothing.
And this now especially. So the crooks send out millions of random emails. Within the email is a link that, if opened, places malware on your computer to harvest data.
Yep.
So don't give information via a link. That's bad news. And then there's some Medicare cons. This I thought was unique. The approach is the offer usually comes via phone or email. Vans drive through neighborhoods with people knocking on doors, offering tests in return for Medicare numbers.
Now,
as a prevention, obviously, you never give your Medicare number to anybody but a trusted medical affairs professional, I'm sorry. And all that stuff. And be wary of the census frauds, too, because they're, you know, just looking for information. But it's really bad, and it's just getting worse and worse. And I just want everybody to make sure that they really think twice before they give any information. And a lot of times people get recruited into stuff, and they don't realize that the people behind it are scammers. But the federal government says if you do happen to fall for a scam, report it to the authorities immediately, but importantly, don't beat yourself up. And that's just how it is. I know we've talked about this. And I don't know if your mother was ever subjected to any of that.
No, no.
Mine was.
No. Yeah, I mean, if she was, she never told us, but she's pretty good about, was pretty good about that kind of stuff. But no, not that I was aware of.
Wow.
And by the way, I did do the complete my census this week too.
Oh, good. I did mine 2 weeks ago. I did it online or did you send it in?
I did it online.
Okay. I thought it was so easy to do it online. It was really well done.
Yes. Well, actually what they did
with other stuff.
Well, I like what they did. They sent you the first packet, then they sent you a reminder. And then they said if you don't participate online, they will send a questionnaire in the mail. So it was very, very, very easy. And it took 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So it was, yeah, it was good. So that, I feel good I got that done.
One other thing that was in this bulletin that we want everybody to remember is that the primary for Pennsylvania used to be, it was the second Tuesday in April or something, in March. It's moved up to April 28th, by the way, so people may not know that. So if you were planning
April or May?
And this could be old. You know, I mean, by the time it was printed, it could be old. This is the one that was the April 2020 edition, and it says that the primary elections are Tuesday, April 28th.
Yeah, ours are, aren't
it? It could be. I think it could be. So, but the point is, it's not what it usually is.
So let's know that. No matter what. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Don't expect to go to a polling place and find a closed, because you will, unless you know when. But, you know, with all the people out.
I wonder what we're going to have to do for that.
I don't know. There's some talk about it all being done electronically. I don't know how that's going to work. It's a mess. But in any event, note that it's been postponed. So we are not voting when we normally would vote. There's a lighter thing I thought we could talk about that I think is pretty interesting.
But
you know, there's a store in Clarkston called 13 Olives. Are you familiar with that?
Yeah, I love it. Yeah.
And he also sells a lot of really fine balsamic vinegars in there, too. It's a fun experience just to go there because they have these urns of the different kinds of olive oils, and a separate room has the balsamic vinegars. But it's almost like a coffee urn where you pull the little device back, and it fills a tiny little cup with it. Mm-hmm. But you know, I don't have that distinction in taste. I can't really tell one olive oil from the next. I just don't have that acumen, I guess, at this point. But for him, he can tell when something is lighter, heavier, darker colored, whatever. I never thought there was really any difference until I read this article about how to live longer. And it's says that some olive oils fight heart disease and cognitive decline. But to get the greatest benefit, you need to pick the right stuff. So they have discovered Domenico Practico, or Pratico, MD, the director of the Alzheimer's Center at Temple University. they discovered that there are certain types of olive oils that have some compounds in the fat of this oil that can flush out proteins that gum up the communication channels between brain cells that might delay or even reverse Alzheimer's and other dementias. And it's the one compound is a polyphenol called oleocanthal. And in animal studies, they found that this oleocanthal demonstrated an ability to rinse out amyloids, which form the plaques associated with Alzheimer's. In mice, extra virgin olive oil can flush out, I think you pronounce this TAU, T-A-U, the Greek letter, a protein that hinders language skills and memory in humans. So here's what you've got to figure out. Number one, look for the extra virgin. That distinction means the oil is free of flavor defects. And the highest concentration, it also has the highest concentration of this disease-fighting polyphenols. He recommends consuming 2 tablespoons every day for best effort. That reminds me of the old story about the mineral oil that mothers used to take that disgusting stuff twice a day. But this isn't so bad.
No, it isn't at all.
Pick a dark bottle. Exposure to light can destroy the polyphenols. Dark glass or tins offer much better protection. And for better protection, store the oil in a cool, dark place. Number three, check the bottle date. Some olive oils have a shelf life of 6 months, others last 3 years. To find the freshest oil, look for the best before date, which is usually 18 to 24 months from when the oil was bottled. If the best before date is just a few months away, find a fresher oil. And number four, buy from California. In 2014, California began standardized testing. The impact is significant. In 2017, retail samples of unregulated extra virgin olive oils were below standard 82% of the time. But regulated extra virgin olive oil failed only 10% of the time. And this doctor who's with the Alzheimer's Prevention Clinic said, I've had dozens of patients who started taking at least 1 to 2 tablespoons of EVOO daily, and it had no effect. Then he switched them over to California oil. After that, their cholesterol improved. And number five, give it a swig. The more potent an oil flavor. I never knew this was true. I've had this experience, but I never related it to the olive oil. The more potent an oil flavor, the more powerful its protective effects. If you feel a slight burn in the back of your throat, it means the oil has high levels of oleocanthal, the polyphenol that's been shown to bust up Alzheimer's plaques. So next time you go out for dinner, olive oil and balsamic vinegar, get it.
Well, I'm going to tell you that Tommy always buys, I used to buy Cento extra virgin all the time. And there's also that fresh press that they tell you, pressed, you look for
right.
as well. But Tommy always gets, and of course he lived in California for 9 years, so he says, Mom, and it's in a dark green bottle, real dark green bottle, and it's California, and it's in like a squarish bottle, California brand, and that's what we buy. That's what I buy now, and it's absolutely delicious. So
yeah.
I agree. It's great. I love it. Love it.
So keep eating it, everybody.
There you
keep
go.
Keep eating it. Consume it. It's good for your brain.
Well, and my salads and my dressing and then drinking the bottom of it after it's at that little bit on the bottom. It's so good. So anyway, yum. Okay.
Oh, all right. So on that note, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with our special guest today, Dr. Nicole DeNova from Veterinary Referral and Emergency Center.
It's Saturday morning with Lori and Lynn. Now, back to Lori and Lynn.
Hi, Hi, we're back. My name is Wynn Evans. I am the managing director of a company called Women of Substance LLC, which is a financial planning firm designed specifically for the needs of baby boomer women. I'm also the host of a podcast that's called Power of the Purse, and that's available on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play.
I'm Laurie Cadden, the owner of Laurie Cadden Enterprises, which is a fundraising, PR, and special event business.
And our guest expert today is attorney Nicole. I'm sorry.
Now she's an attorney, too.
Yeah, I didn't hear that title, too. Dr. Nicole DeNova, who is the owner and primary surgeon at Veterinary Referral and Emergency Center in Clark Summit. And we got lots to talk about today. Welcome, Nicole.
I'm so happy to be with you both.
Yay. Hi, Nicole.
It's good to hear your voice. Let's talk about the COVID-19 issue. Everywhere we've been hearing about animals and their ability to get and transmit the COVID-19 virus. So what's the truth about this? What is true about that situation?
Sure. So for clarification, animals, the only two cases that we now know of that are confirmed, back in the beginning of March, there was a very elderly Pomeranian. She was about 17 years old, and it was a report that came out of China that she had tested what we call weak positive. So this is a test where we knew that she had COVID-19 detected in her nasal passages. And to be clear, she was living with a caretaker that was COVID-19 positive. She didn't show or manifest any clinical signs. We don't have any evidence whatsoever that animals of any kind can then spread COVID-19 to humans. So I want to be real clear about that. And then just recently, I think it was about a week, maybe 10 days ago, there was a confirmation that a tiger at a zoo in the state of New York tested positive for COVID-19. But again, that tiger's handler was also COVID-19 positive. And we, again, to be clear, have no evidence that animals can then transmit disease to humans. Humans are, when they're COVID-19, when in close proximity taking care of these animals, it seems like we now have these two cases, the only two confirmed cases, that have tested positive. The discussion for people out there listening is don't get rid of your dog or cat. Don't panic. They're not going to give you COVID-19. They don't just, spontaneously get this virus. If you have pets in the household, that's fine. If everybody's doing their quarantine as they're supposed to, everybody should be safe. If somebody in the household becomes ill, even without a test, I recommend that if you don't have to be the primary caretaker for the cats or the dogs or whatever the case may be, let somebody else take on that duty. If you're tested positive for COVID-19, even more so, let somebody else take care of, the cats or the dogs. And that's just out of, sort of safety and security. Again, we have no evidence that animals have transmitted it to humans, but we just want to be safe and sure. This thing is dynamic. I mean, I think about the fact that we talked about the beginnings of this about a month ago, and look at where we are today. Yeah. And then the final thing is if you have a service animal, you have, for whatever need this animal is providing you care, you obviously are reliant on them and they're reliant on you. And even if you were tested COVID-19 positive, nobody's going to suggest that the service animal go away, unless for some terrible reason you're hospitalized. But then it just becomes sort of common sense. Don't kiss them. Don't hug them. Keep their bowls clean. Don't share cups and bowls and saucers or whatever the case. It's just about, hygienic safety. And that should hopefully keep the animals clear of COVID and hopefully keep you from sharing it to them. Because the only thing that we don't know now, we do know that animals are not transmitting it to humans. We just don't know, is that going to change? Is that going to change in the near future, in the far future? What does it mean for the animals? No animals have become clinically ill, but we don't, again, this thing is so crazy dynamic. We're trying to stay one step ahead, and that seems pretty difficult on the human side. Fortunately, we only have the two cases on animals, but we want to stay safe.
I could also see, Nicole, where you'd have an animal in the house. Let's say, I'm just going to use the example of a dog, who is just so demonstrative, affectionate. And when they see you, they want to jump up on your lap. They want to kiss you. They want to do all those things that they've always done. I just wonder about the poor animals. What do they think? When you have
sure.
to push them away, you know, you say
right.
for your own safety, but
well,
I can't explain this to you. But
well, and wow. the other thing is, you know, sometimes it's interesting because the population, when I think of family and friends, there's going to be half of the people out there listening right now thinking, you're completely nuts and I'm never going to do that. And the other half is going to think, you know, that's a great idea. And that is
yeah.
that if you are at all concerned, this whole issue about wearing masks does not protect you from other people. It protects other people from you. And even though I know that I don't have COVID-19, if I wear a mask and I expect absolutely every other person out there to wear a mask, it's just about this, you know, quote unquote, herd immunity or communal immunity. And so sometimes there might be that same concept with our pets. If you go to a high-risk job, if you're an ER doctor and you are potentially exposed every single day and you come home to your German Shepherd and you want to just have a snuggle because your emotional health depends on it, mm-hmm. you, when you get home and have the snuggle with your dog, you might have to just wear a mask. You're actually protecting
right.
your dog from you. And if that's what it takes,
yeah.
listen, when we go to the hospital every day, everybody at the hospital is mandated to wear masks. Do you think I stopped kissing patients because I'm wearing a mask? Absolutely not. It's just
yeah.
unfortunate that I've got this little cloth barrier between me and something fuzzy and lovable who needs, you know, a hug and a kiss at times. But that's just where we are today.
And Nicole, how are people dealing with customer patients, the parents of the patients? How are they dealing with, because of course, you know, just like anybody else, but in this case, they're scared to death because something may or may not be wrong. They're bringing them into your hospital and they're also scared. So I know we talked about this and it's so important to keep everything safety measures in place in a facility like yours. I'm sure, and as you told us, it's very thoroughly done. And how do you regulate that? Do you feel fear from people, or are they just more concerned about the animal and feel a little less crazy?
I think because of where as a society we have arrived, I have to say everybody has actually been, for the most part, not always, but for the most part, really kind and considerate and patient. They understand their needs, obviously, but they are also understanding, you know, we have completely new protocols in place. We try and ask everybody to call from their car. So they pull into the parking lot, they're sitting in front of the building, they call to say, I'm here, here's the situation. Obviously, if it's absolute life and death emergency, they tend to come bursting through the doors, and we do what we can to explain to them, here's what we need to do, but we try and accommodate as best as we can. You know, we're trying to explain to everybody, an itchy ear right now really is not an emergency. If you can go see your vet, it's better. There's lots of vets that are closing down, that they just won't, they're not even opening their doors, they're not seeing clients at all. But obviously, if there's patients that are in pain, even if it's something that some people might think is elective, like a cruciate tear, their dog is terribly painful, they're terribly worried, I can't say no to that family.
Right.
So we're doing everything that we can, and clients are being really incredibly wonderful, understanding that we're trying to do what we can to take care of their babies. At the same time, it's not the animals that we're fearful, it's the humans. And so we have to sort of say to people, it's the humans we need to keep out. It's the animals we can take in. And even though there's precautions that we're doing when we take in an animal, just, you know, wearing gloves and masks and so on and so forth, you know, it's my coworkers that need to fear me and I need to fear them. At the same time, we have to work as a cohesive group. And if the clients are bringing in the patients, that we've got to be, you know, cautious of one another. But for the most part, despite these new, you know, ways of doing things, having consultations via telephone with somebody in their car in our parking lot, which is so bizarre, you know, I say to people all the time, right now I'd be drawing you a picture. I can't do that. So let me try and verbally paint a picture for you as to what I'm describing about surgery. It's just where we are. And, you know, I got to say, I look forward to being able to hug a client in a moment when they need that. Right now, we can't do that. It's really hard. It's changed a lot about how we do medicine. So it's interesting.
You know, it's really funny to look at things that on television, even commercials or relatively recent programs that were filmed, and you look at people hugging each other and holding hands and shaking hands and just think, oh, you can't do that anymore.
Yeah.
It's just such a weird thing, but we can.
It is.
It's bizarre.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you go ahead. Finish what you were saying.
I was just going to say it is sort of so very bizarre in the day and time that we're in. And yet I feel very good about, you know, at least at our hospital, we've implemented things early, long before anything was even mentioned or mandated. And it's just, our logic was, if we can stay open and service the community, that's what we're supposed to be doing right now. I cannot imagine, and again, I always put myself in these shoes, if I were a dog or cat parent and something emergent happened and I made a phone call and I received a message saying, sorry, we're closed.
Dear God.
Yeah. So, you know, can you imagine calling your local hospital and saying, I feel sick, and they're saying, sorry, we're closed.
Right.
And so I think everybody in society that's doing what they can, how they can, just to make sure that we can all try and maintain as best as possible, you know, we're looking at the light. The light's coming. It's all going to get back to normal. Everybody just has to keep in mind it's all going to get back to normal. We just don't know when. That's all.
Yep. Well, how can anyone who needs you get in touch with you?
So they can always call the hospital. It's 570-587-7777. They can always come on in. Just know that, you know, they obviously come to the hospital and they're going to dial that phone number from outside the building and we'll give them instructions on what to do next. But, you know, however we can help. And then, of course, there's always social media. We have a Facebook page, Instagram, Twitter account, and it's all under VRECPA.com or just VRECPA for social media tags.
There you go. Well, Nicole, thank you so much, Dr. Nicole DeNova. And Nicole, best health to you and your little tests and to everybody who is doing such a wonderful job making sure you're available to help anybody's pet in need in an emergent situation. So thank you very, very much, and keep up the good work. And Lynn?
Yeah, everybody
we'll
stay happy and healthy.
Thank you.
Yeah, good idea.
And that's right. And have a good weekend, everybody. Thanks again so much for listening. Be safe and please be nice. Bye.
Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.